everybody, and welcome back to this, the first episode of 2022 of Southern Onion. It's us, your favorite twins. I'm Erica.
And I'm Erin. And I don't have anything. Erin. That's my new...
We took like a month off, and in a month you couldn't come back.
I'm Erin, and I don't like snow.
Yeah. Well, because you live where there's snow.
Yeah, there's 8 inches right now. So
good grief. That would shut down my part of the world. It did for 2 inches, so I couldn't imagine 8.
Yep, it's melting. So.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm glad it's melting. I'm glad you all are safe and warm and out of the elements. So, and we just want to say a big hello to all of you tuning in today. Thank you all so much. We had took a little bit longer of a break than we wanted to because that's life.
It happens.
So, but everything's fine. Everybody's fine. There's nothing bad. It was just, you know, schedules didn't match up. And now we're back on track. So, yay.
That's right.
Yay to that.
Yay.
Thank you to all the listeners. Oh, my goodness. Thank you all so much. We've had all the people that have reached out. And if you haven't already, you can follow us on Instagram at Southern Onion Podcast. DMs are open there. We will be a bit more active on there now that we've started back with the episodes. And we are just blown away by all the support, really, Erin, around the world.
It's amazing.
It is fantastic. So we hope everybody that celebrates had a great holiday season and that everything went well and that you had time for yourself and to relax and rejuvenate, because I like to use fancy words every now and then. And that
I got you that calendar of the word day. So.
Yes, you did. You sure did. Yeah. Rejuvenate the word. Yeah. No. I couldn't pronounce it. I don't know.
Yeah. There you go.
And then here is to 2022 and hopefully at some point to officially get out of this pandemic. Because, I think I speak for all of us. It's enough. Let's be done.
We're done. We're done.
Let's be done. I'm so done with this. So,
me too.
So, Erin, how's it been going? What's been new with you over the last month? I mean, you did get to see me, which was pretty precious and awesome for you.
For the holidays and all that fun.
Yep.
Yes. So, January was a hard year.
Right. Gosh, wasn't
it? And I will say that. I mean, good gracious. Mm-hmm. It was like, that's why I don't ever go, yay, this year's going to be my year. Because January's like, okay, watch this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I've learned not to do that.
Nope.
So I survived January, you know.
Good job.
But it's been great, you know, just like you said, relaxing, rejuvenating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Enjoying, just slowing down for a little bit, enjoying the season, I guess. Yeah. So.
How's Maggie?
She's great.
Your puppy.
Mm-hmm. Maggie's doing good. Everybody's doing good. Staying healthy. So.
Well, can't complain. Nobody will listen anyway.
That's the truth.
No.
I know.
I've been
so
the,
how has you been?
Yeah, well, I've been the same. Just taking time and, you know, with my work. And I cover a region in 3 states. And I got my little email from Google, you know, that says, oh, hey, here's your travel for the month or whatever. And I traveled 2,600 miles in January.
Wow.
Don't tell my car insurance company. Yeah. My butt hurts. I am so tired of driving right now. I appreciate that I'm fortunate enough to have a job and that, you know, that I have transportation that I can travel 2,600 miles in a month. So,
right, sure.
Little overdue for the oil change, but don't tell anybody. It'll be fine. No worries.
Oh, yes.
So, again, we hope everybody has had a great, great time off. Again, thank you for the listens. If you haven't already, go out and subscribe, like. If you really like the podcast, feel free to leave a review. We would really appreciate that because that just helps get more exposure. Or word of mouth. Tell your friends, tell your coworkers, tell your family members. Let them know that we are around and we really appreciate all the support. We're just, again, we're having fun. And let me go ahead. we'll do this. Let's get all the business out of the way first. We are a, if you want to call it entertainment, true crime podcast. Aaron and I are not professional researchers. We are not paid by any law enforcement or law agencies, nor do we work for either of those sides' careers. So it is our view, our opinion about cases that we cover. We're not perfect. We try to be as close as we can, but we're not. So anything that we cover and that we comment on, that's just our point of view.
Right.
That's it. Yep. There's nothing more to it. We're not sponsored by anybody. We're not paid by anybody. We just like talking about true crime. And this is another way for us as twins to spend more time together.
Right. Yeah.
So, little disclaimer there. That's all. Just for all the new listeners, please don't think we're like, we have researched 40 hours into this, and here is our findings. You know, that's not what we do.
No.
But that was a good radio voice, I think.
That was.
That was good. Yeah. Soft rock, classic hits. Okay, I'm weirding myself out now.
Yeah.
But anything else you wanted to add, Erin?
No. No, good? I think that's it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is,
Perfect. All right. So this month is just going to be a touch different because Aaron and I feel very passionate about Black History Month. Aaron and I both try to be the best version of ourselves that we can be. And for us, we do believe it's not enough to be not racist, but you should also be anti-racist. And what that means is just when you see it happening, even if you're in a circle of friends and you all are think you're just talking funny or whatever, stop it. It is not okay to talk down about any race, religion, sexual orientation, any of that, and especially not about Black people. So you got to be anti-racist. Educate yourself, especially as white people. It is our job to educate ourselves. I hear a lot of my friends are like, use Google. You know, you can go out to Google and find a lot of information to be a better person. And I was telling Aaron before we came on to record, I'm going to, for the month, I'm going to offer a book to read that if you want to educate yourself further, and these are books that I have read myself. The first one I have for you all is called White Fragility. It says, Why is it so hard for white people to talk about racism? And this is by author Robin DiAngelo. I really appreciated this book. The way it is written, it makes you think, it makes you contemplate, it makes you open your eyes into racism that really is ingrained in you by media outlets, Hollywood, all these things that you don't even realize. But when you open your eyes, you see it, and it's disturbing, for sure.
Right.
So we want to highlight cases, we want to highlight people, Black people that have contributed to the civil rights movement that gave these sparks, and these are heartbreaking stories, the one that we're going to cover today especially, but we want to shed light on it. We feel like we have this platform, we need to use it for the betterment of all of us, so.
Right, I agree.
Yeah, so thank you for that. And so, let's go ahead. You ready, Erin?
Okay,
so this is the case of Emmett Till, and we're going to talk about him a little bit. He was the victim of a very horrendous, crime. Yeah. But we're also going to focus on his mother, Mamie Till.
Yes.
And she's real impressive because this is somebody, especially in the 50s and how it was back then, not that it's really... Mm-hmm. You know, but she started a spark, and she could have gone so many ways, but she used it to fight and to, you know, to fight for Emmett and to fight for others. So, Mamie Till is her name.
Mm-hmm.
So great woman. So that's who we want to focus on, today. So Aaron, we've been watching some stuff, learning some things. What you got?
Okay, so I watched something called Let the World See, and this is on Hulu, and it does have interviews from people who were there the night that Emmett Till was kidnapped. Also, the store where Emmett allegedly did some things. There are people there that are witness to this that are still living, and they talk about it. But it gives you a breakdown, like, step by step of everything that happened.
Right.
So I went based on that. It's really great. Like I said, it's on Hulu. So if you have Hulu, also there's a show called Women of the Movement. This is a great show. I watched this show. It was a really eye-opening show.
Mm-hmm.
And this does talk about Emmett Till. Mm-hmm. There's books that are out there called Death of Innocence, which is written by Mamie Till Mobley.
Mm-hmm.
That was her married name, Mobley. But for this purpose, I'll be calling her Mamie Till just for that reason. But yeah, she wrote a book as well talking about Emmett and everything that she went through. So, So let's just jump right into it.
Yep.
Emmett and Mamie live in Chicago, Illinois. And she is married. She has a husband named Louis Till. And they got married. And Louis, according to Mamie, wasn't the greatest husband in the world. He was kind of abusive. She had to get a restraining order on him. And so he decides to join the army.
Right.
Okay. So he's overseas, but he's still sending home support to Mamie to take care of young Emmett. Now, the support stops.
Abruptly,
and Mamie's like, okay, something's up, right? So she ends up getting like a postcard, and it said on there that he had died, but it was of his own doing.
Right. And
so he wasn't killed in combat or anything.
Right. And a postcard. Like, they didn't even send somebody out to the house or a formal letter, but a postcard to say, hey, your husband's dead. And actually, he brought it on himself. I mean, is what it alludes to.
Right. It said that, you know, he died outside of the outside of combat by his own fault. That was what she was told. So we find out this is a lie.
Yes. Big lie.
And yeah, this is a big lie. So what it is about is that Louis and a couple of other men in the army were out drinking one night. A woman had gotten murdered, and I believe two other had been raped, or one of them had been raped.
And this is in Italy.
This is in Italy. And so he is put on trial for this. Now, they asked the woman in Italy that was raped, do you see the person who raped you in this courtroom? And she says no. But they still find him guilty anyway.
Right. I don't. And that's killed. The thing. Yeah. You're found guilty because, well, I'm sure you would have done it if you had the opportunity. Kind of thinking in that era. Oh, yeah.
So he was executed, even though he, you know, she couldn't identify him. Now, the army returns a ring. This is Louis Till's ring that is sent back to Mamie. This is a ring that she gives to Emmett as a way of kind of connecting with his father. You know, here is a ring that your dad wore.
Yeah, because he was a baby.
Wore the ring.
Yeah, because he was a baby when the dad went over.
Yeah. So she gives him the ring. So Emmett, as a child, they talk about he's a very sweet, fun-loving child. He's absolutely adorable. But he had a stutter. He stuttered pretty badly, they said, and he had polio as well. So as a child, he had polio. But he was a fun-loving, he was kind of a prankster. He liked to cut up, as all kids do. I mean, we all get together, have fun.
I still do. Oh, yeah.
So in August of 1955, a man by the name of Moses Wright, but they call him Mose. Now, he would be the great uncle to Emmett, is going to Mississippi because he has like a little bit of a cotton plantation, or he's growing cotton down there, and he's going to go, and Emmett's cousin, Wheeler Parker, is going to go with him. So Emmett is begging Mamie, please, please, please let me go. I want to go to Mississippi.
Summer with cousins. Absolutely.
Right, you know, couple of weeks out, you know, it'll be fun. Now, Mamie does talk to Emmett about the difference between living in Chicago and going to the South in Mississippi,
right,
and how you are to interact with white people.
Right. Yeah, unfortunately. Talks that right. still happen today.
Mm-hmm. Right. That if you see them, you look down, you move across the street, you get on your knees if you have to and beg them for forgiveness.
That, yeah.
That's just, but have fun.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like, wow.
That would turn me off right then. I would be like, never mind. I'm not doing that.
Right. But he's 14 years old, and it's like, I want to, you know, okay, mom. You know how it is.
Oh, sure.
When you're young and your parents tell you, you're like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. It's not going to happen to me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm going with my cousins. I'm going to go have a good time. It's fine.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
So he goes to Mississippi with his cousin. Mm-hmm. And Moses, right? So they get there,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sorry, my paper is like stuck together, guys.
Oh,
like,
you're okay.
You know how this goes.
So. Oh yeah, yep.
Yeah. So August 20th of 1955, they travel to Mississippi on a train, and they get to a place called Money, Mississippi. Okay. Now, just to give you an idea of what kind of world Emmett is walking into, just a year before, in 1954, the Brown versus Board of Education had happened. This was desegregation in school. So he's walking into a world where there's people that are not very happy about the fact that black children are now going to be going to school with their white children.
Yeah.
So people are already tore up, right?
Oh, yeah.
So this is the world that Emmett is going into. Okay. So where they live, it's a very small town, Money, Mississippi. And where Mose has his home, it's about 3 miles away from town. They live a very simple life. People there, it's just a very simple, when you see pictures of it, it's just like, looks like just any town that's just really, really small.
Yeah, just kind of quiet. You know? and
Yeah, you know, like one grocery store.
Right, brick and mortar stores, your main streets where all the shops are,
Right. So on August 24th of 1955, after the boys had gone out picking cotton for the day, they went to town afterwards because they were hungry. They wanted to get some candy and something to drink and things like that.
Sure.
Now, with Emmett are, you know, Simeon, who is his cousin, Maurice, a young lady by Ruth, but her name is Ruth, and then Wheeler Parker, who is also a cousin. So they all go to Bryant's store. Now, this is owned by Roy and his wife, Carolyn Bryant. They, and this is what they said in the documentary, that they tolerated black people coming into their store as long as they behaved.
In other words, just give me your money.
Right.
And as long as they behave, but just that was just for the black customers and not all customers. Like, are you serious?
Just this, it like made me sick to my stomach. I just, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Carolyn is, like I said, she's 21 years old. She's working there by herself in the grocery store because her husband had gone off for work. He was like a shrimp guy. He did the shrimp boats and stuff like that. So he was gone. They have two small little boys, and they live in the back of the store. So anyway, Carolyn is there, and she is running the cash register, running the store. Now, there are two different versions of what happened. Okay, so let's just delve into it now. And because, I know. All right, so the first version is from the people who were actually there, Wheeler Parker. And he talks about how Emmett goes into the store, and Wheeler had been in there, and he left, and Emmett was still in there. And he says he didn't see anything happen. Then Simeon goes in as well. And nothing happens, okay? Nothing has happened.
Right.
They witness this. So then Mrs. Bryant comes out of the store, and Emmett gives a wolf whistle.
Okay.
So he wolf whistles at Mrs. Bryant. But there is some debate about that, which we'll get into in a minute. So, of course, they realize what Emmett's done. They beeline it to the car, and they take off, and they're going back to Moe's because they're like, what have you done? You know, you can't do that. You right. can't do that here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now that's the version. The version, okay. you know. Mm-hmm. The second version comes from Mrs. Bryant saying that Emmett came in and made a pass at her. That when she took money from him for candy, he grabbed her, made some very sexual comments toward her. Mm. When she tried to get away from him, he grabbed her around the waist and said, "What's wrong, baby? Can't you take it?" And I've been with white women before, and I can get with you.
There, yeah.
Now, that, this is according to her.
Right, but does that not seem so absolutely grossly over the top?
I don't believe her at all. Sorry.
No way.
Spoiler alert. I don't believe this woman.
No way. No.
And we're about to get into that too, you know.
Because Emmett yeah. was warned by his mother, mm-hmm. when you go down here, this is what you have to do. So I seriously right. doubt Emmett's going to be like, well, I'm going to do all of this to a white woman. And then, right. you know, I just, no. Mm-mm. No, and I think it's because whatever happened, she just wanted to make sure that the story was so outlandish that mm-hmm. it couldn't be that it was because she lied, or you know what I mean? Like, right. I don't, it just, it was so wrong. So many levels.
Right.
Disgusting.
Yeah. So Emmett begs his cousins, please don't tell Mose. Let's just not tell him. Mm-hmm. Let's just not say anything. Let's just let this go. Let's just move on from this.
Right.
So nobody says anything to Mose Wright. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, August 28th, so that's 4 days after the alleged incident,
mm-hmm.
at 2:30 in the morning, Mose Wright hears someone knocking at his door.
Hmm.
And he hears a voice that says, you know, this is Mr. Bryant. So that would be Roy Bryant, Kevin Bryant's husband.
Right.
And I want to talk to the Chicago boy.
Mm.
Now, there's two, because Wheeler,
mm-hmm.
the cousin, is from Chicago, and also Emmett.
Right.
So, of course, Mose doesn't know which one he's wanting to speak to.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bryant brings along his half-brother, J.W. Milam. Mm. So, they're together, and they're going through Mose's house looking for the Chicago boy that was saying the things.
Right.
Eventually, they get to Emmett, mm-hmm. and they asked him if he was the one saying it. Emmett said yes. They told him to put his shoes on, and he did. Right. Now, Moses, his wife, is saying, look, I'll give you money. Whatever he did, I'll give you money. Why don't you take him out back and just give him a good whooping, but bring him back?
Right.
You know, just whatever he did, just bring him back. Just bring him back.
Right.
You know, we'll give you money, whatever, but bring him back. So, they take Emmett. Milam and Bryant take Emmett.
Mm-hmm.
Mose testifies, and I believe Mose, mm-hmm. that they took Emmett to the front of the truck and said, is he the one? And a lighter voice says, he's the one.
Okay.
Who do you think was in the truck?
Right. Oh, Miss Carolyn. Mm-hmm.
Now, she claims she wasn't there.
Whatever.
She was there.
She was there. Blood's on her she hands. Was
there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. She was there. She can say what she wants to. She was right. there. Mm-hmm. So they take him and they put him in the back of the truck and they drive off toward Money, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
So the next morning, Mamie gets a call that Emmett has been taken by two white men. Mamie knows this is not good.
Yeah.
This is not good. Yeah. Mm. This is not good that your child has been taken.
Right. Yeah. In that area by white men. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Correct. Yes. So Mamie contacts the Chicago Tribune because she wants to make this national.
Mm-hmm.
People need to know what is going on mm-hmm. in Mississippi.
Absolutely. Yep. Yep.
And I mean, this woman, like, she, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, she didn't just say, oh, okay. I mean, she was like, you know what? No, this needs to be exposed.
Yeah, and good for her, because as a mom, yeah. I can't imagine the paralyzing fear and worry that she had getting that phone call. But she yeah. had enough in her to say, no, everybody's going to hear about this, and goes immediately to the media. So good. I mean, wow. Strong.
Yeah.
Strong woman.
I mean, wow. Mm-hmm. Now, Wheeler, the cousin that is from Chicago as well, mm-hmm. they send him back to Chicago immediately. Because
right.
they
yeah.
don't know what's going to happen, right? Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, they came in the middle of the night and took Emmett. What else are they going to do?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And like somebody had said, well, why didn't Mose and them do something? Because how could they do something?
Yeah.
How could they stand up to them?
Exactly. Because they would have been killed on sight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Because exactly. they talked back to me. So I shot them. And it's like, oh my
right.
gosh.
Right. Mm. So on August 31st, this is 3 days after Emmett was kidnapped. Okay. Mm-hmm. A boy who was going fishing sees in the Tallahatchie River feet sticking up out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
Just 2 feet sticking up out of the water. So they pull the body from the Tallahatchie River, and Moses comes down to identify the body. Mm-hmm. And he said that, you know, it was hard to identify this body because it was so badly beaten.
Golly.
And so disfigured. Mm-hmm. But what identified it was the ring that
mm-hmm.
his that was his dad's mm-hmm. ring that wow. his mother had given him mm-hmm. was still on Emmett's finger.
Mm.
That's gosh. How Mose was able to identify that it was
yeah.
Emmett.
Mm.
Mm. The body was badly beaten.
Mm-hmm.
The body had a cotton gin fan tied around his neck with barbed wire. There was no clothing on the body.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
His eyes were one of the eyes were gouged out.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a hole where he had been shot in the head.
Yeah. All four allegedly
mm-hmm.
whistling or making a pass at a white woman.
Right.
Right. All of that on a 14-year-old
because of a
child,
wolf whistle.
Because of a wolf whistle.
Right. Yeah.
It's just.
Mm-hmm.
And
so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just shocking.
And we all know, and I'm just going to say it because we all know it mm-hmm. to be true. If that had been a white 14-year-old male that had done that, it would have been like, now, little Tommy, no, that's not how you talk to a lady. And that would have been the end of it.
Right.
But because they wanted to put the blame on a black 14-year-old, they go to the mm-hmm. house in the middle of the night. They drag him out of the house and they brutally overkill. Just even kill him,
yeah.
but brutally overkill yeah. because of a damn whistle. Are you kidding me?
Right. And a cotton gin fan weighs about 65, 70 pounds, folks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were doing it with the intent that the body would not be found.
Right. They thought that it would sink it to the bottom and that would be the end of it.
Right. That their yeah. story, I guarantee the mm-hmm. story of those two cowards were going to be, mm-hmm. oh, well, we let him go. He just ran away. I don't know what happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee
yeah.
that was going to be their story.
Yeah.
Because they're cowards.
So, yeah. Idiots. So, maybe is notified that Emmett is dead. I mean, mm-hmm. you can imagine the devastation that she went through hearing that her child is not coming home alive.
Mm-hmm.
Mamie wants Emmett buried in Chicago, where mm-hmm. he was loved, where his family is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It makes sense. Makes
yeah.
sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, little Sheriff Strider down in Mississippi wants the body buried right now before the sun comes down.
Whatever.
I want the body buried right now, he said, before the sun goes down.
Perhaps.
Now,
try to hide it, sweep it under the rug, bypass it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. So
sure you did, Joel Sheriff.
Mamie finds out, starts calling around.
Hmm.
She gets the burial stopped by mm-hmm. Mayor Daley from Illinois. She called him up and said, look,
mm-hmm.
I need you to help me stop this. I want my baby home.
Can't
okay?
even grieve for her child because,
right.
again, more white people getting in the way.
Mm-hmm. Right. So Emmett's body is brought back by train.
Mm.
Everybody is there when the train comes in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is on September 2nd of 1955. Now, it came in a wooden sealed box. And it says on there, as an agreement with Mississippi, that you are not to break that seal.
My gosh.
So the funeral director is like, okay.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mamie Till says, give me a crowbar. I want to see my child.
Yeah. And she has every right. Yeah. A state cannot.
Yeah.
Wow.
So their agreement was, yeah, you can have the body, but you can't open it. You cannot open the seal of this.
So they're still trying to control the situation by that.
Correct.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. By fear. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
Right.
Good for you, Mamie.
Yeah. Mamie opens it. And she does what she called a visual autopsy, where she starts from, I mean, head to toe, looking at every inch of what is left of her child, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, she said, I prided myself on Emmett's teeth. His teeth were so beautiful. Mm-hmm. All of his teeth were knocked out.
God.
Mm. You know, this was her baby.
Right. Yeah.
His eyes gouged out. I mean, this is her child. Mm-hmm. So the funeral director says to her, hey, do you want me to kind of, you know, fix him up a little bit and all this? Mm-hmm. She said, no. She said, let the people see what I have seen.
Yeah.
That is such a strong statement for a grieving mother to sit there and say,
right.
No, I'm not going to hide this away. I'm not going to let them brush another one of these lynchings under the rug.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And if she had, I think people would have understood. But sure, she was like, sure. No, not with me. It stops here. Get disturbed. Right. Get upset. Yeah. Get mortified. Grossed out. Whatever. Because this is reality. This is what we deal with. Right. This is because I let my child go to Mississippi.
Right.
This is what happened. Yeah.
It is an open casket. There is a public viewing. And they showed, I mean, just lines and lines of people.
Yeah, I think they said it was over 50,000 came.
Yeah.
And you have to imagine a part of that was just people who are curious to see.
Right.
You know.
But to see this is what they are doing to black boys in Mississippi.
Right. Yeah. In the South. Yeah. And during that time, I mean, that could have been, you know, this particular case is in Mississippi, but it was happening everywhere. And right. Still happens.
That's right. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. 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 Yes, definitely.
But yeah, it's just like, oh, my God. You know, I think what she was doing, and she did it at the sacrifice of herself and Emmett, was showing reality. Unfiltered, if you will, reality.
Well, and the fear of what's going to happen to her.
Right. Coming out
and speaking up, you know.
Yeah. She took her life in her own hands, definitely, to do that.
Yeah.
But wow.
Yeah. So she had Emmett's body photographed, and it was in Jet magazine.
Yes.
So the world is seeing exactly what her child looked like.
And that's very hard to see. It's very hard to look at.
So if you haven't seen it, it's out there.
Yeah.
To see.
Yeah.
So on September 6th, while Mamie is burying Emmett, the Mississippi grand jury indicts Roy Bryant and J.W. Milam for Emmett's murder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you're thinking, all right, there's going to be some justice.
Yeah.
Well, hold on.
Yeah. Wait.
You know.
But wait. There's more.
It gets bad. Mm-hmm. So, Mamie goes to Mississippi because she wants to be there. And I don't blame her. But she also wants to be there to testify.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a rumor going around by Sheriff Strider that's not really Emmett's body. Emmett's really alive. And that's not his body. They're just making this up.
And good gosh.
Yeah.
That sheriff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she said, as an interviewer, she said, that is my child. That is my child. She would know if that was her child.
Well, and Mose identified him based on the ring that he was wearing. Why? No one would know that detail. No one would know that detail except for his family. Because I don't pay attention to what rings people wear.
Right. Yeah.
If they're not close to me or related to me.
But it had the significance, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, but then they wouldn't go, oh, no, you're mistaken. We just shipped you a body and said it was your son, but now we're going to say he's alive and we didn't ship that to you. I mean, come on.
Right. Yeah. Come on. Well, and what gets me is all the lawyers in Sumner, Mississippi, because that's where the trial is, they defend Bryant and Milam.
Of course they do.
And there's boys club. Jars in grocery stores where you can donate money for their defense.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's so disgusting.
And
people give to it.
Right, right. Okay, and then it's an all-white jury.
Imagine that.
Male jury. All-white male jury.
Well, we know the ending before. You don't have to tell us the ending if you didn't know it already.
Right, yeah. Hmm. Now, Mamie has no protection coming into court.
Mm-hmm. No, of course not.
There's none whatsoever. But if I don't know if you have seen the video footage of her coming into court. My goodness, this woman has the strength I have never seen.
I know.
She was well put together. She was dignified. Mm-hmm. She was well spoken. It was like, wow. I mean, she was just, I mean, incredible. Incredible.
Right. And we say that because I think if it was my child that all that had happened to, I don't know that I would be able to physically move, much less go down to a state, get in front of the public, and stay composed when I'm sure all that any parent would want to do is just yell and scream and fight and rage and all of that. But yet she was able to keep that focus. And oh my goodness, what strength, you know, to do that.
Yeah.
What strength.
Absolutely, just wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, it shows Milam and Bryant. I mean, they're taking this as a joke in court. They bring their kids in. They have their wives in there. I mean, J.W. Milam's wife's like laying all over him. I'm like, what is that about?
Mm-hmm.
They just took it as a, it's just they weren't taking it serious. They were smoking cigars.
Well, because to them,
during the, I mean,
the life of that black child meant nothing to them. So why would they need to pay for anything that they did?
Right.
He whistled at her or made a pass at her. So, you know, that's just.
Well, and another person that I really found just incredibly courageous through all this is Mose Wright.
Oh, yeah.
Because he got up on the stand and testified and pointed his finger at Milam and Bryant and said, those are the two that came in and took Emmett.
Yeah. Yeah. Because everybody knows where Mose lives. It's a small town.
Yeah.
I mean, golly.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. No.
So, you know, I mean, it just, Mamie got up on the stand and they asked her questions I thought were just absolutely horrible. They said, well, did he go to reform school? Did he have problems with white people? Did you have an insurance policy out on him?
My gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm saying like, wow. Okay. Really? That's, you're putting this grieving mother through this. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
So I know this case. And so Willie Reed, he's 18 years old and he actually witnessed what was going on with Emmett. He saw Emmett in the back of the pickup truck being taken away by two white men. Later, he comes walking through and he passes a barn that is owned by J.W. Milam's brother, Leslie. And he hears a child crying inside. And JW comes out of the barn. So he was able to positively identify him and say he was the one that helped to take Emmett.
Right. Wow.
So you got these witnesses. You got witnesses. You got Mose. You got Willie Reed.
Right.
Okay.
That with their own eyes saw these things that they're accounting happen. And everybody's like, yeah, but.
Right. But, you know, Carolyn Bryant gets up and testifies, and we pretty much went over what she states happened. So it was a way of saying, you know, look what he did to her. Isn't that just horrible? And, you know, like it's supposed to be justified,
but,
you know.
Right. Yeah, like that type of torture and murder, vicious murder, is like, oh, well, oh, you mean he made a pass at her? Oh, well, then by all means, whatever. How, how in your peon mind can you think that's okay? Ever? You know?
Right.
Yeah.
So, like I said, you know, she got up, did her thing. It wasn't in front of the jury. but she did testify, and it is on record of everything that she says.
Mm-hmm.
So the jury, it takes them 1 hour and 7 minutes to find Milam and Bryant not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, we took a Coke break to make it look good.
Yeah, I was about to say they have like a cigarette break or something so it could take, like, make it look like they actually considered anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. Mm. So the possibility of, you know, because they did admit that they had kidnapped him.
Mm-hmm.
But they said, like you had said earlier, that they had let him go.
Right.
Because they said they took him to the Bryant store. Carolyn was there and said, is he the one? She said no.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, we let him go. We don't know what happened to him.
Yeah. Yep.
But we know that's not true.
Exactly. Yep.
So they admitted to kidnapping him. So there's the thought of, okay, maybe there will be kidnapping charges against them. Maybe that's a way to get them.
Right. Yep. No.
Well.
Oh, Lord.
All of a sudden, somebody releases Lewis Till's Army records. And if you'll remember what happened.
Right. He gets executed by the Army for his indiscretions against, well, for his, the alleged indiscretions against a female in Italy, or females in Italy.
Right. So they end up not indicting Bryant and Milam, because the thought is, okay, if his dad raped and murdered a woman,
so you see Emmett as a 14-year-old is going to be predisposed to do that, even though he never knew his father.
Right.
Because, oh my gosh, really?
This is a way to, yeah.
Okay.
And so they don't indict them on kidnapping charges, even though they stood there and admitted it.
That is so...
They admitted it.
Golly.
Yeah.
That's like saying if your parent has a fear of cats, that you are now going to have a fear of cats for no reason if you did not even know that parent.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, and I know that's putting it so, so mildly, but... Mm-hmm. That makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. Okay.
January 24th, 1956.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So a couple months after the trial,
mm-hmm.
Milam and Bryant confess. They did kill Emmett.
Well, they've already been found not guilty.
Right. Because you got the double jeopardy going on.
Yeah. So you can't be charged. That's
right. So they do this for Look magazine for
$4,000. Oh my God. So money and publicity of, hey, you know, by the way, we totally lied, got away with it, and you can't do anything about it. So let's make money off of what we did. Oh my God.
So what they said, and you can read the whole article, it is online and stuff like that, but they said that they just wanted to scare him, but he just wouldn't back down. He just wasn't sorry. And he got tired of it, and he said, you know, I'm tired of them sending boys like you down here. and I'm just paraphrasing. I mean, when you read the article, it is absolutely disgusting.
So they're still trying to say that they were justified in their actions, because if Emmett had allegedly only acted sorry, then they would have totally let him go. They would not have done all that. It's his fault.
Okay.
It's his fault that they had to do all of that. Are you gross?
Yeah. So read the whole, like I said, there's a whole, the whole article, Look magazine is out there, and you can read it word for word, and it is absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
That is the best way to put
atrocious,
it.
Atrocious, yeah.
Yes. So, Mamie, you know, she starts speaking in public places, and she keeps it out there about Emmett, and starts talking about, like I said, this is the spark that lit the flame for the fire of the civil rights movement. Because a couple of months later, Rosa Parks refused to give her seat up on a bus, and she said, I was thinking of Emmett Till when I did that.
Wow. See, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Wow.
So this just shows you that Mamie was like, okay, we can't get justice in the court system, obviously.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But we can keep talking. We right. can keep this going. And yes. she did. She spoke anywhere and everywhere that she could.
Yep.
She put herself in danger.
Several.
By getting up and digging.
Yeah. Years and years and years. Yeah. Her life.
The strength of this woman. I mean, the strength is just absolutely
it's
amazing.
Impressive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is. She ends up becoming a teacher. Mamie does. Mm-hmm. She starts a group called the Emmett Till Players, where she teaches like public speaking and gives kids that outlet, you know, to express themselves, which is absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we lost her in 2003.
Yeah.
She never got to see justice for her son.
No.
Never.
Mm-mm. Even in 2003. No. Yeah. So for the people who think we've come so far, even in 2003, there's still not justice.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, the Emmett Till case was reopened by the FBI in April of 2004. Now, do you remember when Strider said that the body was not Emmett's? You remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they did a DNA test, and guess what? It's his body.
Wow.
Yes.
Imagine that.
So that put to rest that little lie there.
Hmm.
Unfortunately, the case was closed in December of 2021 because the FBI said they did not have sufficient evidence to bring anybody to trial, including Carolyn Bryant.
Well, because I'm sure that the police, protecting their own white citizens that did this horrendous crime, collected zero evidence, did zero interviews that would have even remotely pointed the finger off of Emmett, and why actions were... Why they did what they did. Like, I'm sure that they made sure that everything, records, police, law enforcement, all that, showed, nope, Emmett brought this on himself, and we could just not find a way to prove it otherwise. Shucks.
Now, a man by the name of Timothy Tyson wrote a book. It's called The Blood of Emmett Till.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he claims that he actually interviewed the daughter-in-law of Carolyn Bryant, and Carolyn recanted her story.
And
that
when,
Emmett
but
did
when.
Not,
yeah,
that Emmett did not grab her, harass her, do any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But the controversy with that is that Carolyn Bryant said, "I never said that. I never said anything. I've not recanted my story."
Mm-hmm.
So really, there's really no way of knowing. Nobody has ever interviewed Carolyn Bryant personally for her to say yes, no, maybe so.
And I find that interesting.
Yeah.
How, I mean, did she did she refuse interviews or whereas
she's turning on now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she had no interest.
People tried.
Okay. So she was never interested in setting the record straight at any point.
No. No.
Okay.
So she is still alive. She's 88 years old, and she's still living. Now, Milam and Bryant are both dead. So you're not going to get them. But she is still living. And the thing that gets me through all of this is you're talking about a woman who is a mother.
Right.
And I don't know how somebody can stand there and point the finger and say such ugly, awful things about somebody else's child, knowing good and well what's going to happen to that child.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because honest, why not tell the truth now? What is the point in not telling the truth now? I mean, the FBI's closed it. They were acquitted. Honestly, the only thing that would happen is people would be like, you know what? Yeah, y'all were trash. And I can't believe you lucky SOBs got away with it. Well, they weren't lucky. It was white privilege. That was the reason why they weren't held accountable for their actions.
Right.
But, you know, that why not? Just do it. You're 88, so I can't imagine you're going to be around much longer. And by that, I mean 30, 40 years. But why not? Tell the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, it's heartbreaking because at the end of the day, this was all over a wolf whistle. This was not anything other than him. And Mamie had stated that you know, remember when I told you he had a really bad stutter issue? Mm-hmm. She would teach him, if you ever get stuck on a word, to whistle.
Oh.
So that's why I don't know for sure if he was whistling at Carolyn Bryant or he was speaking to somebody and he got hung up on a word. Mm-hmm. And he whistled. That's why there's that. I'm not certain.
See, and I would be more inclined to believe that because, again, she prepared him for life, how it differed from Chicago. So right. Emmett did not strike me as the kind that would be like, well, I'm just going to go down there and do whatever the hell I want because mama's not here. And I would think he was probably talking to a cousin or something. And they might not have known, oh, if I get stuck on a word, if I just whistle, that helps me with the stuttering. Right. And man.
So there's no way
regardless,
at the end of the day, he whistled, whether at her or because he's stuttering. It still does not justify.
No, nothing. Mm-mm. No punishment other than, were you whistling at me? No, I wasn't. Well, be careful because people can mistake in you that you were whistling at me. And, like, warned him and moved the hell on. But instead, oh, will you whistle? Well, I'm going to bring somebody else with me. Because the guys were not there for that. It was just her.
Mm-hmm.
And
right, correct. Yeah.
So she is the one that this is all on her.
And you can't tell me that she didn't know what her husband and brother-in-law were going to do. You can't sit there and tell me because they went out at 2:30 in the morning. Okay. Right.
If you're married and
your husband getting up at 2:30 in the morning saying, I'll be right back, you know you're going to ask, where are you going?
Right. And that would have been the point where you'd be like, look, stop. Leave it alone. If they come back in the store, I'll run them out. Just don't.
Mm-hmm.
But no, she let it all go.
Service.
And still in letting it go.
Yeah.
Still in 2022, still letting it go.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
There you go.
No thanks. No thank you.
Yeah. It just, in this case, it was hard. Like, there were times when I was, like, going to break down and cry.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just couldn't imagine what Mamie went through. I can't imagine what any person would go through knowing, is my child going to come home?
Right. Well, and at that in the 50s, knowing she knew full and well she was taking her life in her own hands by being outspoken against this. Because, I didn't write it down. But, like, she reached out to the president, Dwight Eisenhower, and was like, hey, I need help in this. And he was like, no, I don't think so. It's not important enough. So... Dwight Eisenhower, the president of the United States, who should give 2 cents, was like, pass. You know, the FBI. Hey, I need your help with this. Back in 55. Hey, I need your help with this. Can you help me? This is not right. And they go, it's okay. Why? Because it was a white man's club.
Yep.
All of it.
Yeah.
It's not right. His life is no less important than anybody else's. And if anybody thinks, no, his life was less important because he was black, you are racist. And if that makes you uncomfortable, you got work to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
It disgusts me because why?
Yep. For no reason. No reason at all. Fear.
Well, exactly, fear. That's because it's not known. It's not known. It's not understood. It's not. So we're just going to hate them, kill them, get away with it because I don't want to educate myself. And it's still today. Still today.
Unfortunately.
How many people do you hear, and especially black males. Oh, if I see a black man walk across the street, I just turn around, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you're racist. Mm-hmm. And no, I'm just protecting myself. No, you're not. You're being racist.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, and that's why I suggest getting the book White Fragility to start with, because it will, I read a lot of those things, and I was ashamed of myself. But...
I know. Yeah.
Well, wait, no, I'm not going to put a but. I read it and I was ashamed of myself. So I started working on myself and being conscious of my thoughts and my reactions to things. And it's a lot of indoctrined, ingrained racism. And we grew up in a place where there was not a large black population.
Correct, yes.
So you can't say, well, where I grew up, there wasn't any black people, so I'm not racist. You can still be racist. And let me explain how, you know, and be like, what do you notice in TV shows, especially from the 60s and 70s? You know, black people were they were usually the suspects, the murderers, the rapists. They were the taxi cab drivers. They were the help, as far as they were the butlers or the maids of, I mean, look at it. So you're watching this thinking, oh, that's what black people do, and it's not right. But it's forced, you know, and then all of our history is whitewashed because we were never taught this in school.
No, never,
That's
never, never,
crap.
never.
Why? That should have been included. And it's just a little blurb on Rosa Parks. It was never fully understood.
No, you're right.
But that's why we want to highlight these things, because we've got to do better as a society. We have to do better as people with white privilege that we have. We've got to do better. And so hopefully this has helped shed some light, encouraged you, motivated somebody, you know, look within yourselves. We can all do better. And again, we're not perfect. And I really hope that if you've listened to this episode, that you see that we are trying and we're not perfect. I'm sure we've messed up somewhere. It's not intentional, but it's just people of especially black people should be able to walk the streets in any neighborhood in any city and not have to worry about their lives. They should be able to act how they. We've all been boisterous in public. We've all been laughing too loud or woo, you know, kind of what we think's, you know. And for me, as a white woman, if I were to go out in public and be kind of loud, people might look at me, but nobody's going to say anything to me. That's my white privilege. But if a black person were to go out and get a little loud and stuff, be like, hey, you need to be quiet. You need to be, you know, be called down immediately. And that's not right.
No, it's not.
It's not right.
No. So that is the case of Emmett Till and his courageous mother, Mamie.
Mamie's a
I
rock
mean,
star.
what a
Superstar.
woman. I mean, seriously, I mean, like I said, go back and watch the video footage of her walking into court. I mean, that woman, wow. No one,
I can't
everybody's watching
imagine.
you,
My heart rate
and
would have been
just,
like 300.
yeah, I mean, wow, she was just so composed. It was just, I don't know, I just, so, but yeah, but you, like I said, there's different documentaries out about it. There's also books that have been written about Emmett Till, so you can get more information. We just kind of skim the surface of it. There's
Oh,
so
yeah.
much more to it,
Yeah.
but we couldn't fit it all within the podcast, you know, in one show. We'd have to do many, 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 many shows.
You're right.
So, you know, read and learn about it. It's very saddening, but it's educational, and I think it's an important story that needs to be told.
Yeah. Not forget about the past. Don't, we need to look at the history so we don't repeat it or continue
That's
to
exactly
live
right.
it. That's why.
Exactly.
That's why.
Yeah.
It's not, you cannot until there is zero, till we all do better. We've got to do
Yeah.
better. So that's our
Exactly.
challenge to
Yes.
you, the listener, is as it is for us. Do better, be better. So, all right, so next episode, we will highlight again, and what we'll probably do, we're going to, you know, keep up with the true crime cases. We'll do Billy Staten
Yes, that's correct.
is going to be the next case that we'll do for next week. We will have a highlight also of a black person that has been pivotal in history and civil rights movements that we want to highlight and talk about. I also have another book suggestion for you as well. So again, thank you so much for listening. Glad to be back. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to us on Instagram. Again, that's Southern Onion Podcast. Make sure you go and follow us there. And okay, until next time, take care, stay safe, and keep peeling back those true layers of true... Look, it's been so long. Keep peeling back the layers of true crime. I'll get it right eventually. Yes. All right. Bye, Erin.
Bye, Erica.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.